Thank you very much, Lisa, for reminding us of the very important relationship that we have with God, that as we look at Him, He is not just someone that does a lot of things for us. He is the awesome God that we need to bow our knee before and to have a great, awesome attitude toward and awe as we look before Him. Like us again, unite our hearts together in prayer as we do, in a sense, bow our knee, bow our hearts as we pray to our Lord. Father, again, we thank You for the privilege of being able to bow the knee to You. Lord, we know that there are multitudes around this world that have chosen yet not to bow the knee. But we know that according to Scripture, that every knee shall bow. And Lord, we thank You that we have had the privilege to choose to bow the knee to You by Your grace to provide for us this opportunity. And Lord, I pray that we may not take that for granted. Lord, I thank You too for this weekend, as many times we focus on our families and on relaxation and things along those lines. But Father, as we have an opportunity to look at something that's very important to You, the element of being responsible, of being diligent in our work, being a good example to others. And Father, I ask that You would have Your blessing upon this message this morning, as it our goal to encourage others in regard to what Your Scriptures say in the area of hard work, and how that we can live with wisdom in our workplaces. Father, again, we thank You for this privilege and ask that You use me as Your vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. Kind of an interesting topic to be talking about work after taking a week of vacation to go out to South Dakota. I had the opportunity to travel 1,600 miles, 32 hours in the van, a couple nights in the tent while it was raining. It is a wonderful week. We got halfway there and the transmission started slipping, and so we thought, well, this is done. We decided to put some transmission fluid in it. That made a big difference. And then we got into the hills and all around there, and then we started getting this smoke billowing out of the car, and come to find out it was just the brakes, you know, because I was going down a great decline and such. But through it all, people have been praying for us, you know, because through it all, it was a wonderful trip and learned a lot of different things about the Wild West out there, and had a chance to get back and see some of my family I hadn't seen for years on the way out there and on the way back. And so we're excited about being here, but it is a little difficult about talking about working hard after you spend a whole week not working. So I'm going to attempt to take us to the Word of God in regard to this, so God will be talking about working hard instead of myself. Jobs are interesting. I don't know what kind of jobs each of you have had, and you probably assume I've always done this kind of job, but there are some various things God has used in my life to help me understand a little bit more about the different variety of jobs that were there. Had spent some time delivering newspapers and getting chased by dogs and those type of things. Had an opportunity in my lifetime to make rat bait. Now, that is an important job, making rat bait and making sure there's bait out there for those rats to eat. I did that for a little while until that wasn't like a career job, you know, so I just did that for a little while. Mixed paint for a while, worked on roofs, just a variety of different things. I even spent a day in a gorilla suit running around for Montgomery Ward to try to promote tires. So a lot of different things God has put into my life to give me an opportunity to learn about the various jobs that there might be out there. Well, there's an individual that we're going to be looking at his words, and it's ironic because I don't think that this individual that God used to pen these words ever had to have a job, per se, of working for anybody else. He was born in the king's palace, basically, and some have said born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Shortly after his father was getting to the point where he was giving up his kingdom, he was the one to take over the kingdom. So he was raised in a palace, and as a result, he inherited the kingdom from his father. And for the most part, I think he was his own boss, or just kind of went along with whatever princes do. His name is Solomon, and Solomon is the wisest man in the world, from what we understand, the richest man in the world, a very industrious man. Let me not get that wrong. I mean, even though he may not have worked for anybody else, he was a man who knew the benefits, though, of hard work and had thrown himself completely into hard work. Well, he has given to us in the Bible, and you can find this in the Scriptures about the center of your Old Testament, right about here, the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, it's the words of wisdom to individuals who want to be able to be skillful in life. In particular, he is writing these to his son to help his son to be able to be skillful in life. And it's interesting the number of things that are covered in the Proverbs and how that they apply so much even to today, even though they are written so long ago. But I want to encourage us to look at seven. So it's going to be really quick as we look at each one. But seven benefits, if you would, of being a hard worker according to the wisdom of Solomon. We'll be looking at this, and it kind of ties in a little bit with our Romans series, because in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, he says, not lagging in diligence. For these principles will also help us, not just in our workplace, but also in other areas wherein we're tempted to be in vacation mode for our lives. God calls us to be diligent, to be faithful, involved, working hard. So let's just look at a few of the things that are found in the book of Proverbs, and if you want to turn to each one, you're welcome to. They are reproduced for you up on the wall as we come to each one of them. What are some of the things or benefits of being a hard worker according to the Proverbs? The first one I notice is that was found in Proverbs 13:11. It says, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. The proverb here is basically talking about the contrast between those who come across their money in an easy way. Now, dishonesty could be from the concept of taking it when it doesn't belong to it, or it even could also involve the aspect of just simply inheriting all your money and getting it without any work. Because the contrast here is having money basically plopped into your lap versus earning money through diligent, hard work. He says this way, he says, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished. In that that which comes easy, in a sense, that which comes without our toil and our labor, tends to take wings and fly away. And we have a difficulty in keeping those things in our grasp. Interestingly, though, if we are honest, hard workers, we have some benefits from that. Here are some of the things that I found as I looked at this passage and just kind of applied it to life. Number one is that when you have an emphasis on honest, hard work, that will have an element of integrity associated with it. One of the things I admire about my mom, she raised us kids basically on her own, had to work at the packing plant for 40 hours a week for 30 years and did that very diligently and came home and always was cleaning the house and working on things and remodeling the house. And one of the things I can say about her, she was a hard worker. She was very diligent, and everything that she has came not from a gift, but from all her diligent work and her integrity. And if I could say that I gained anything from my mom, it would be the integrity of realizing that you do not deserve a free meal in life. That you should not go through life deserving a free gift or meal. My mom could have made the choice to just simply not work, stay home, raise her kids, and have somebody else pick up the tab. But she didn't choose to do that. She chose to raise us kids and to work hard and diligently. And I appreciate that because it gave me a lesson in life that I shouldn't sit around waiting for somebody else to pay my bills, that I need to be diligent and responsible. So it develops that type of integrity. And along with that is other character elements. When we learn to work hard, it gives us something not just for today, but for our whole lifetime. When we learn from, whether it's at the age 11 or 12, and some of those jobs I described to you, I started in junior high, when we learn that early to be responsible for our money, it's more apt that we're going to take care of that money. I've seen individuals who has been their custom to just simply receive money, never do anything for it but receive it. It's amazing how quickly that money is gone and they're back with their hand out for some more. And one of the things I learned, though, is that when I started making my own money, after a while I figured out it wasn't my own, but it was God letting me use it. But when I started investing my time to get money back, I started looking at things from perspective. When I'd come across the pop machine and had to try to determine how much that was going to cost, I would start looking at, well, I've got to deliver so many papers to to get that. And maybe you've done that in your work when you thought about an investment you have to make. Well, that's so many days of work, or so many weeks of work, or so many years of work, or whatever it might be. And you start seeing a correlation between your investment and the cost of things around you. If you don't have that privilege of working hard, you do not get that chance of developing that element of character and that element of appreciation for things that might be there. Also, just the emphasis that we learn with an emphasis on earning, not so much on spending. When our money is given to us, we look at it as an account to be taken from and spent. It's just something that is there for us to use. When we are accustomed to earning the money, we are more apt to learn the benefits of saving the money and using it for some other time. So this is why the proverb says, "But he who gathers by labor will increase." I believe the increase is not just in the element of you will have more in your bank account. I think it also is the increase of the character and in the type of person that we are for the diligent work. And let me remind you that I didn't take the time to develop this point, but many times people look at hard work as being a result of the curse. Back in Genesis chapter 3, we know that when Adam and Eve sinned, that they partook of the tree God told them not to. One of the results of that, God said that you will work by the sweat of your brow. And you'll have weeds and all these things to have to deal with. There will be pain in the world. There will be death and all these various things. But let's bear in mind, though, that from the very beginning, God gave Adam and Eve responsibilities. So the element of work and the element of diligent work has never been the idea of being a result of sin. It's always been something that God has anticipated for us to do, to be diligent in that which we do. And that's just an encouragement for us to get a proper frame of mind that God has always intended for us to have an earnest, diligent attitude towards those things that we have. Whatever our hand finds to do, do it heartily unto the Lord. He doesn't want us to just do things half-heartedly. Now, let's just look at, that's just one of the seven items, but makes money last longer, or there is great benefit to our character. Second of all, it builds rather than destroys. Look at this proverb in Proverbs 18:9. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. It's like having a brother that is a demolition crew. Now, some of you may have grown up with a brother like that. You know, if you had Lego or something like that, and you would build something, and you'd have a brother that comes in, and his job was to knock everything down that you have built. I don't think that's exactly the context here, talking about brothers that had a mean streak in them to knock everything down. I think the context here is that you are likened unto an individual. Those who choose not to be diligent in their work are like individuals who are prone to demolish things instead of build things up. Now, one of the things that's very evident in life is that if you don't give attention to things, they will naturally decay and go bad. That's one of the things that if you watch as far as if you own a house. If you own a house and you decide that you're going to buy this house and you don't want to do anything to it ever. Okay? You don't want to mow the grass. You don't want to do any painting. You don't want to even put any oil on any hinges or anything like that. And you just say, I bought this house and I expect it to remain this way for years and years and years. Now, some of you have bought a house, haven't you? And you purchased a house and you said, that is really nowhere near reality. Because for some reason, even if you don't do anything bad to a house, even if you're very nice to your house, even if you're very kind and don't do bad things to it, Your house does bad things to itself. And that's true of so many things in life. And so an individual who finds their goal in life not to do anything, in a sense by the very fact that they have chosen not to be a part of the solution, their absence of activity becomes part of the problem. That in whether it's in your workplace or in your church, and you have an attitude of passivity, and that I'm just going to get by with whatever I need to get by, something is going to fall down. Something is not going to get done. Something is going to start decaying. And that is why many times churches will get into decline, because individuals decide, well, I've done my time, or I don't want to work anymore, I just want to sit. And as a result, when nobody does anything, things begin to decline. Same thing is true in our workplace. Same thing is true in our homes. When we don't invest the time into our home and be diligent, the whole attitude of working hard, and this is just kind of an encouragement to us if we're gone for a while during the day and working hard, working diligently at the job that we might have, just the concept of coming home and saying, I deserve a break and I don't want to have to deal with elements of the home, and say, I just want to relax and not have to deal with things. Well, that too can many times lead to the diminishing or the destruction even of the home, to have an attitude that I deserve a break today and I don't want to be diligently working hard at the elements of my marriage, of my family, or whatever it might be. So you can see here that when we determine to be working hard, we will be ones who will be involved with the building process instead of a destroying process. So there are great benefits to working diligently, that we are investing in things. We are giving a contribution, and we are helping rather than distracting the situation. You may have been in a situation like this in your workplace. I have at different times, where there's some individuals that for some reason cannot figure out what their job is. You ever work with people like that? They just cannot figure out what their job is. And what they do is they tend to walk around and they distract other people from doing their job. And you're wondering, don't you have a cubicle to go to, or don't you have a station to go to, or something like that, so that I can get my work done? And I think that is one of the other elements as far as building rather than destroying, is that when we have an attitude not to work hard, when we have an attitude of being lazy, of being distracted, we can in turn distract others and keep them from getting the things done that they need to be getting done as well. So the first benefit is that it helps us increase, or the money lasts longer. Second of all, it builds rather than destroys. Proverbs 14:23 kind of has an encouragement regarding labor versus just simply words. Proverbs 14:23 says, in all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. Kind of like, words don't get it. We can talk about getting things done, but it's only when we do things that things get done. Talk does not produce. It may, depending upon your jobs. One of the jobs that I had throughout a period of time in my life is I had the privilege of being one of these telemarketers, these individuals you guys all enjoy to get calls from at various times during your day. And my job was to call people and try to talk them into buying advertising space in our magazine. And at that point, my talk was the only way I could gain, was by talking people into purchasing things that I just thought were worthless myself. So I hated the job. But the idea of talking about something is not, in generally, as good as doing something. Doing is better than talking about it. And I guess what goes along with this, I don't know if you ever saw the old show Ma and Pa Kettle. Have you ever seen Ma and Pa Kettle? We got introduced to that just a few years ago, and our kids love them, and they got a series, and it's just basically backwoods type of family that just a silly humor or whatever. But Pa Kettle is just one of the laziest guys you just I mean, he just is a lazy guy, and his wife's a real diligent worker, and Paul just always talking about one of these days I'm going to have to borrow a nail and fix this thing. You know, I mean, that's his attitude toward it. Everything's falling out down around him, and he's going to borrow a nail someday and fix something. Well, he would always talk about what he was going to do. He was going to talk about fixing this or that. And sometimes we do that in our life as well. We talk about the things that we want to do. And one of the hardest things to do, though, is getting started, isn't it? Sometimes embarking on a project or getting things going or doing something is hard at the point of getting started. Yet, we're encouraged that in all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. This ought to encourage us that we should have as an emphasis that we want to be hard workers, we want to be productive workers, we want to be ones who don't just talk about getting things done, we want to be ones who talk and do get things done. Another contrast, and this is something that I guess from my own experience and just kind of apply it from this vantage point, one of the things I've noticed in some of the elements that I've been involved with, I spent some time in a Bible college in the administrative area, and the old... It's amazing how the water cooler has a way of expanding itself. You know, it's that you take your break and you get talking about things, and then before long that conversation moves on to someplace else, and before long you've eaten up many of your employer's time because of idle chatter and talk that you've had that was good and enjoyable as you as an employee, but was not real productive for your employer. And I thought as I looked at this is the... You know, something that if our bosses in those type of situations would come along and say, well, I don't pay you to sit and talk about, you know, your families and things like that. I pay you to be producing, to doing things. And that might be just an encouragement to us to realize that, yes, there are those given breaks that are designed for the purpose of helping us to be rejuvenated so that we can go back and do what? Work and get things done and be responsible in the things that we're doing. The fourth item... Proverbs 12:24 says this, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Just some words of encouragement here. We don't see this as much here in our society because we're not as dependent as much on these type of things. But basically, at the time this is being written is, you either worked and ate, or you didn't work and didn't eat. I mean, that's basically how it worked out. You know, if those who really wanted to survive in life were those individuals who were diligently involved with working. There wasn't any other option. There was either working and eating and not working and not eating. And here we have the emphasis of the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. And one of the things that would happen back at that time is that there were quite a class differentiation. Those who were involved with ruling and those who were involved actually in slavery at the time. And so there was a distinguishing difference as to the class situation. Now, I realize many of the individuals who found themselves in forced labor or in slavery did so not upon their own account. They were somehow placed into that situation and they didn't have any options in regard to that. But as a general rule, that Proverbs is trying to put out is that the diligent are the ones that tend to progress in their workplace. That if we want to continually see success in the things that we're doing, it's going to take diligent work. We can't just sit around and hope that our ship will come in and we will be able to move up the ladder or whatever. But basically, here's some things that I pulled out of this. Number one, freedoms come with responsible actions. We teach this with our children, that if they want to have freedoms, they need to start showing responsible actions. The more responsible they are, the actually more freedoms they end up with as they mature and get older. And that is true also in our workplace. You take an individual like a man named Joseph. Joseph's story can be found in the latter part of the book of Genesis. Joseph was a man who basically started out by all observances, was one who was placed in a high position just basically because of who he was. His father favored him, and his father put him kind of in an administrative role, and his brothers, who were actually older than him, were jealous of that. Their end result was to sell him into slavery. Joseph then had to really prove himself as a diligent worker, because as a slave, he had to be making a decision. Am I going to be a good servant or a poor servant? He chose to be diligent and do that which he believed his God would honor. And he worked very hard, very diligently. And as a result, when he was in Potiphar's house, the place he was sold to, it wasn't, but a few years later, he was exalted to a position where he was responsible over everything in the house. His diligence paid off, and he was given great opportunities. And maybe you've seen that too in your workplace, that when you have invested the time, doesn't always go noticed, but when you invest the time and you are faithful, you will be given more freedoms than someone who goes out of their way to try to find ways of not getting work done. Also, unwilling to take initiation will give others the opportunity to dictate basically what we will do in our lives. Try to encourage also in our children's lives the ability to develop an initiative towards work projects, of seeing what needs to be done and being willing to do what needs to be done to accomplish that job. Now, that's something that requires an observant eye. But, you know, I don't see it very often. And maybe in your workplace, you don't see it very often either, where there's individuals who are actually looking for things to do. They're actually concerned about not just getting their job done, but doing whatever it takes to get other things done as well. And when that happens, we are given the opportunities to expand and be more involved in work than if we have to constantly have someone, whenever we ever have idle time, someone else to tell us what to do. And so we got to go over and do what they are telling. And we get in this habit of people basically dictating our life, similar to this forced labor concept. Sometimes, though, what is very important for us to realize is that there are times when the mundane has to be done regularly in order to free us up for creativity later. I can't think of any better way to describe that than in the majority of cases of those individuals who you enjoy listening to on a musical instrument. I mean, many times, and I guess there's a few exceptions to this, but many times what was required before the freedom and creativity were those scales, or that constant playing of the same old thing, and the drudgery of the same thing, and the begging and the pleading with parents, "No, I don't want to do it anymore," and the trials and the "This is so boring" kind of attitude. Any musicians agree with that? I mean, well, isn't that so? I mean, it just can't handle it. But when one gets to the point where after their diligent work and their hard work, they're in a sense, similar to this proverb, exalted to the freedom to sit down with that instrument and enjoy and add the creativity and have people go, "Oh, you make that look so easy. I'd like to play like that. You think you can teach me in 2 weeks?" The diligent work, whether it be a musical instrument or whether it be in the type of job that you're in, hopefully, as you have invested your time in your job year after year, you've developed a skill that is similar to that skill of a musician, because many times you did the mundane things, the hard things that are now allowing you the creativity and the freedom to be able to enjoy your job from a different perspective. Number five, we can develop skills that will be recognized by others. Now, it's very important that before we get into this verse that we recognize another proverb. If you have your scriptures, turn to Proverbs 25, 6 and 7. I do not have this one on the overhead. Proverbs 25, 6 and 7 says, "Do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of the great. For it is better that he say to you, 'Come up here,' than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen." Basically describe this. There's this special position, and you assume that the special position is for you. So you go and you stand in this special position. As you're standing in this special position next to this very important person, that very important person has to whisper in your ear and say, "You You're not supposed to be standing here. Go way down here. And how embarrassing it is to have to leave that special person and go sit way down here while somebody else is exalted in the place where you thought you deserved. So it's not an element that we should be paying all that much attention and all that much concern about where we are being exalted, where our position is going to be, how we're going to be lifted up and moved along. Basically, God says that isn't our concern. It shouldn't be our goal. It shouldn't be our motivation to simply want to try to be at that special position. Our motivation should be to work hard and diligent. The book of Colossians reminds us that when we work, whether it's for an employer or for ourselves or whatever you want to refer to who you work for, you ultimately work for God. There's not an individual who doesn't, that is a believer, that doesn't work for God in one form or another. And that when we look at our motivation, it should not be to be exalted. It should not be to be recognized. It should not be to be elevated. It should be just simply because I want to do the best I can. But in most of those cases, when we do that, there's a great probability that recognition will come along. This kind of piggybacks on the one before as far as the concept of skills being developed. It says, do you see a man who excels in his work? That word excels kind of has the idea of speed and fluidness. An individual who's able to do their work with great speed and great fluid to the ability of doing it very well. Skilled would be another word you could put in there. He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. And that the evidence of working hard will give us an opportunity to excel. Skill comes, first of all, with hard work. Second of all, skill will be recognized. But yet, it's not our job to get that type of appearance. It's not our job to long for it. Our job is to do the best we can. One of the things that was very helpful for me, although I really don't care to share this, but I think it's important to share. When I worked at Trinity College and Seminary and the administrative office, one of the things that was very important to me was to move up in the administration. I have no idea why that became important to me, but all I know is a very wrong attitude, a sinful attitude, but the attitude was you got to get a bigger desk, you got to get a bigger office, you got to get more people underneath you, you got to get a bigger title, a better title, and all these type of things. And I remember being caught up in all of that. And I remember that my whole attitude and my whole heart was changing. That I was no longer working hard because I wanted to work for the Lord and glorify Him. I was working hard to start impressing other people, and I wanted to make sure that the right things were said around the right people. And my goals and my ambitions changed. What was attractive to them in the first place that essentially exalted me from just a very part-time situation into a full-time administrative situation without me even making any kind of application was my diligence and my hard work and my desire just to please God and do what is right. But once I got up and started seeing some of the glamour and some of the heady issues, I started forgetting what was it brought me here. And I share this not because I'm, as you can tell, I'm not very proud of it, but I share this because I know the temptations that are out there. And I know what I had to go through in humility afterwards to where I would finally get to the point of realizing and getting my mind right again, coming back to my senses, that it's all about serving Jesus. It's all about being a good worker because it is to be a good worker. It's not about getting a good position. It's not about getting a good title. It's not about getting a big office. It's not about getting people that are underneath you. It's not about all these things. And how did I know that it was important to me? Because when times came when I was taken out of a certain position and put into another position, years so prior to that, that wouldn't have bothered me. But at that point, it bugged me considerably. Because they took some responsibility away from me. They took some of that away from me. I was realizing that my heart was changing. And God took me out of that environment and put me in an associate pastor's position to where I could be submissive in that arena. And then for 3 years, just constantly learning, what am I here for? I'm here to serve God. I am here to be a servant. I am here to work diligently, not so that I can be recognized. I am here to work diligently because it's the right thing to do and let God take care of the other elements. The sixth item is that it pretty much shows our desires in our heart. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. This is just kind of what gets into our heart, what motivates us. And I think God has given us desires for rest, desires for pleasure. But I think when we get to where our desires is to avoid work, I just want to get out of work. I just don't want to have to do work. I can't wait to retire so I don't have to do any work anymore. I can't wait till vacation so I can get away from work because I can't stand work. And our whole attitude is based on the idea that I don't want to do anything. I want to veg out. The Bible kind of warns against that kind of attitudes of wanting to become lazy and basically not wanting to do some things. It's amazing the number of times that this concept of laziness is repeated in the book of Proverbs to encourage us that there is a cause and effect. You reap what you sow. And as I mentioned earlier, if you just didn't work, you just didn't eat. And it says here, the individual will actually end up dying. Here's some things that I apply to ourselves. Laziness could be almost correspondent to the concept of wanting to be free from responsibility. When you look at it in the context there, the person doesn't want to work. He wants to be free from the responsibility of having to work. The thing that I see is not so much necessarily the danger of us deciding, well, I'm not going to work anymore. I'm just going to sit around and do nothing. Although that does sometimes affect individuals. But the things that as I look at us and where we are, one of the things that I need to encourage us in is that developing a desire to avoid responsibility, to be free from responsibility. God has called us to be responsible individuals. And God has called us, and maybe sometimes in your particular workplace where you need to take on a little bit additional responsibility than what you feel comfortable with. And I just want to encourage you and exhort you that the attitude of developing a desire to be responsible and to be stretched and to trust God with the results. Now, I'm not encouraging you to jump into something that you know you're absolutely not equipped for and you don't have the skills, you don't have the knowledge, and just jump in it and I'm going to trust God to help me be the president of this company even though I've only been here for a week, but I'm going to try it. No, that's not what I'm referring to. I'm talking about the elements of realizing that God will put some things in our life that will stretch us a little bit. Going back to our illustration of Joseph, what if Joseph was never willing to step up when the situations and time came? When the door was opening for Potiphar to bring him up a step, and he says, No, you don't understand. I am just a Hebrew. I'm in a foreign land. I don't want to do this. There's language barriers. There's all these things. It's very hard. It's very difficult for me. I will just be a peon here, and I'll just pull up plants, okay? That's all I'll do. You know, I'll do that. I'll be comfortable with that. Joseph would never have made it to where God wanted him to be if he'd continued to have that attitude. Joseph was willing to do whatever God wanted him to do. He wasn't willing to take just the least responsible or the least amount of work. He was wanting to work hard. Hard workers desire to be free from those things that hamper us. And I believe Joseph worked hard, and as he worked hard, God not only provided for him the food and the life, but he exalted him and allowed him to progress. The seventh item is kind of along the lines of realizing that there's an element of priority. Proverbs 24:27 says, "Prepare your outside work, make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward build your house." In context, the house was always considered the place of comfort, the place of luxury, the place that is enjoyable. And what the proverb is encouraging us in is that we need to ensure that we get our priorities right, that we're willing to develop that which is critical to ensuring that we will have what we need, not just for now, but for the future. Too many times we get too concerned about ensuring that we have the things that comfort us or the things that make us look like we're keeping up with the neighbors or whatever it might be. We get out of materially, we get out of perspective. I remember when Marty and I were first married and we were trying to determine how to spend the very few dollars that we had as we started out our family together. And one of the things we had to decide on was what kind of furniture to have. And some of our neighbors were, they were getting brand new furniture and all this type of stuff. And we had to make a decision right then and there. I had some bills we had to pay off that for college bills and all these various things. And we had some just some things that we needed to do. And the temptation to want to go out and buy a bunch of furniture was there. But we had to make another decision. Our decision was, hey, where are you going with that couch? Oh, well, can we have it? As it was on its way to the junkyard. And we took it and it says, well, it's kind of missing a leg. Oh, we got a brick. And we stick it underneath there. And we had to make some decisions that although it would have seemed important to have a nice bit of furniture in that small little apartment, the important thing was making sure the other stuff was put together. Am I glad? Am I glad that we didn't do those kind of investments? For God took us into a ministry where I was making rat bait, and I was doing telemarketing, and I was making minimum amount of money for well over a year as I was trying to help a small church and minister. Things I would not have been able to do if I had allowed myself to be encumbered with these financial decisions that would have put me in debt or had taken away the monies that we needed to ensure that we could do that kind of ministry. And that is what I liken to the concept of making sure the field work is all done. Making sure that we have invested so the future can be allowed, so that our ministry can go on, so our work can go on. Some might call it eating your peas first if you don't care for peas. You know, of doing sometimes the hard work first, then enjoying the dessert later on. Laying the groundwork, doing the right things first. It's not always the most enjoyable things that come first. And I think that's very important for us in our work. Some of you are familiar with Stephen Covey. Stephen Covey put together the first book called The Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. And one of the things he puts in there of his principles is first things first, of deciding what the important things are. And if you're in an executive type situation or where you have to be responsible for your time, it's very important for you to realize what are the priorities, what are the things that need to be done first, and then allow the things that are not as much priority to be done later. This can be applied to a lot of different areas, whether it's schoolwork or whether it's even a job where we're not in an executive situation, but learning to do the first things first. It helps us develop priorities. It helps us to learn when we get a desire to work hard to develop the foundation, it gives us the privilege of enjoying the fruits of our labors later on. These are just seven principles out of the book of Proverbs, and I hope I've encouraged you to understand that there's several things in the book of Proverbs. This last month, I used the book of Proverbs for my daily devotions. I would take one proverb a day, starting with the first of the month, and then studying it and allowing it to run through my life, making a particular application to my life. And I encourage you, this is September 1st, and if you want to do the same thing for this next month, maybe you don't have a reading plan at this particular time, just choose today to read Proverbs chapter 1. Tomorrow, Proverbs chapter 2. When you wake up and you look at the calendar, you'll know which proverb to read. If you happen to miss one a day or two, you can still look at the calendar and read a proverb that coincides with that. Because there's so much truth, not just for work, not just for these types of elements, but other areas of our life. It was a great blessing to me this last month, and I'm sure it will be for you if you decide to take on that type of a project. We want to encourage you, though, God has the answers for how that we should work in our workplace, how we should respond in our families, how that we should deal with our neighbors, and God's Word is very practical in helping us in these various areas. But one of the most important things for us, and if you've never made this step, I encourage you, is that the Word of God is designed for those individuals who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. It's helpful to the multitudes, I'm sure, as far as giving some practical advice. But as far as transforming lives, it only does so when we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ and as a result received the gift of His Holy Spirit within us to help us understand and apply the Word of God to our particular lives. So I encourage you to trust Jesus as your personal Savior. Believe that Christ died on the cross for your sin. He was buried. He rose again so that He could be your personal Savior. Father, again, we come to you in prayer and we pray that as we think about these seven different principles that we will be willing to realize that hard work is not wrong, that we should be diligent workers and let you take care of the results, that we might, as we look at what lays ahead of us, maybe some work after this Monday or whatever it might be, that, Lord, we might be willing to be diligent workers and realize that that is pleasing and good, and that you will be the one who rewards. We thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen.